Thank you for joining us. You can tell it's a very important day to dedicate the Richard S. Shineman Center for Science, Engineering, and Innovation. This is our boldest and most ambitious project in more than a decade of construction and rejuvenation that has transformed and is continuing to transform this entire campus. We are witnessing a truly profound renewal of our living and learning environment. The impact of this project that you see around you was felt well before the building opened this semester. Our region benefited from a significant economic stimulus as we purchased the materials and employed hundreds of workers who renovated in a nearly half-century-old Pease Hall and built the expansion that more than tripled its square footage. The excellent surroundings and the excitement surrounding this project, the planning, the building of the state-of-the-art learning and teaching facility for the STEM disciplines has led to a significant jump over the past few years in enrollments of students who want to pursue careers in the sciences and related fields. We feel that this semester. We're very full, and it's very exciting. Our renewed emphasis on maximizing the collaboration between students and faculty and between the different scientific fields in order to kindle innovative thinking and discovery has resulted in an explosion of undergraduate research and achievement, a hallmark of this campus. Our students present the results of their research at national and international conferences of scholars, and our graduates gain entry into the elite research institutes and doctoral programs around the world. The fact that our freshman class is the largest in nearly 25 years is certainly, we know, in part attributable to this new spirit, a spirit that the Shineman Center epitomizes. We are now going to really dedicate this building. We've been calling it Shineman and the Shineman Center. We who knew Dr. Richard S. Shineman know that he would have been a little bit uncomfortable in today's spotlight. The founding chair of our chemistry department, he hired its distinguished professors and oversaw the creation and acquisition of new science facilities about a half century ago. He collaborated with colleagues in developing programs, recruiting students and faculty, and obtaining accreditation for its programs by the American Chemical Society. After more than a quarter century on the faculty and a retirement in which he stayed active in the college through the Oswego Alumni Association, the Emeriti Association, the Oswego College Foundation, the Sheldon Legacy Society, he provided a bequest to establish a foundation in his name that would enhance the quality of life in Central New York. His wife, Dr. Barbara Shineman, an alumna of SUNY Oswego, a longtime professor of education here, and a dedicated volunteer and very generous donor, is president of the Richard S. Shineman Foundation. Last fall, she joined her personal contribution with that of the new foundation in making the largest cash gift in the history of our college, $5 million in total, to name this building in honor of Richard Shineman's memory. With the deepest gratitude, it is my profound honor today to dedicate this magnificent building, a monument to the power of science and the power of education, in the name of Richard S. Shineman. This is a project that has demanded intrepid determination and optimism at every step, from assembling and securing the funding most people are happy I'm done with that, most people who are dealing with me, to identifying the particulars that reduce our college's carbon footprint, and that will result in, we hope, and then we believe, gold certification under the United States Green Building Council standards for leadership in energy and environmental design. That's LEED Gold. Still to come among the finishing touches is the Snig and Pease Memorial Garden near the northwest corner of Shinnaman. This outdoor space will include the cornerstones of both Pease and Snig halls and will ensure that these earlier science facilities never fade from our institutional memory. Credit for envisioning and planning the Shinnaman Center is due in large part to our Sciences Planning Committee. Planning Committee, are you here? Would you please stand up and receive some recognition? Chaired, of course, by Dr. Casey Raymond and distinguished teaching professor before him, Kenneth Hyde, and including faculty representatives from each of the 7 academic departments with a stake in the project: biological sciences, chemistry, computer science, earth science, electrical and computer engineering, and also software engineering, and mathematics and physics. They have been at this for years, as you may have heard at lunch, working in concert with our facility staff and the State University Construction Fund, Cannon Design, our architects, and the Pike Company and subcontractors on this particular project. I want to acknowledge a number of people in the audience today. We have with us Mayor Tom Gillen from the City of Oswego. Thank you for being here, Mayor. We have Assemblyman Bob Oakes. Bob, where are you? Thank you for being here. Worked with us very well over the years. We have County Clerk Michael Backus. There's Michael. Oswego Supervisor Teresa Cooper. Teresa? And over there. And Oswego Councilperson Barbara Mahaney. Barbara, thank you for being here. We also have Assemblyman Will Barkley here today. Thank you for joining us. We have many members. All of our boards are here today. Most of our boards are here today, and we actually forced them to have their meetings on this morning. But it was a wonderful opportunity to share and mingle and bring together our college council. I'll see if I can get them all. Our Oswego Foundation, our engineering board, our communications board, and I'm probably missing one or two. The alumni board. They're not going to let me get away with that. Please let me welcome our distinguished educator and scientist and physician who has helped guide the State University of New York as a member of its Board of Trustees, Marshall Leishman, a professor of medicine, biochemistry, and biophysics at the University of Rochester Medical Center. He received his Doctor of Medicine degree from SUNY University of Buffalo School of Medicine. A specialist in blood disorders, Dr. Leishman is a leader in his field, having served as Executive Vice President of the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, Chair of the Scientific Council of the American Red Cross, and President of the American Society of Hematology, among many other positions. I am delighted to have with us today Trustee Marshall Leishman to share our dedication ceremony.
President Stanley, my thanks for asking me to join you and this distinguished platform party for a landmark event in the history of this college. I'm here representing the Chancellor and my fellow trustees of the State of New York for the dedication of an extraordinary new science building, which Dr. Barbara Shinneman, the Shinneman family, and the Richard S. Shinneman Foundation helped make possible, and for the vision and philanthropy of both Barbara and Richard Shinneman. I feel a kinship with Professor Shinneman. We both went to Cornell. We both collected stamps. We both love chemistry, and we both have been devoted to the educational institutions in upstate New York for our entire careers. This building, its space, equipment, and other technologies, all required for a high-quality collegiate science or engineering experience for faculty and students, is essential to meet the curricular demands of our time. The Shinemans have given Oswego an environment that will infuse a new excitement and dimension into the science and engineering curriculum. We look forward to Oswego alumni making special contributions to our society as scientists or as citizens fluent in science. Such an outcome will be attributable in large measure to this generous gift and the gifted faculty and students it will house. When future historians look back on the contributions to science and engineering by Americans, they will be among our greatest intellectual achievements. Increased industrial productivity, prolongation of human lifespan and its quality, enhanced agricultural yields, and so many others. So thank you for this wonderful building and what it represents and the opportunities it will provide to present and future students at SUNY Geneseo.
Well, there's a lot of concrete and a lot of steel, much in the way of elegant design and expensive equipment, wonderful equipment also. They are of no account until the facility of which they are part of is occupied and put to use under the direction of our faculty. Are our science faculty here today? Could they stand, science faculty who are members of this institution? You know, classes are going on at this moment, so many may be employed at this moment. Here to elaborate on how our professors and their students are using the Shinemann Center is Dr. Diana Boyer, who teaches geology in our Department of Earth Sciences and coordinates our student research programs as director of the Office of Research and Individualized Student Experiences, RISE. Dr. Boyer.
Stanley. One of the things I love most about being a faculty member here at SUNY Oswego is that there's a real balance between teaching and research. And for a teaching-centric institution, there's also extremely vibrant research. We literally have faculty doing cutting-edge research that's internationally recognized. And this particular facility is going to be a huge asset for the researchers in the STEM fields. Even in the few weeks since this facility has been open, as we've been kind of starting to settle in, you can already begin to feel an increase in energy. And there's been a lot of attention on the tangible things, the planetarium, the meteorology platforms, the cutting-edge microscopy facilities upstairs. But there's also an intangible that this particular space and this new building brings. I'm very excited to be a part of SUNY Oswego at this time when research-centric culture is being so strongly fostered, not only by this new space, but by some of the initiatives and programs that are being put forth. I knew I wanted to be a research-based paleontologist for a long time. And in graduate school, I fell in love with teaching, and it really became one of my passions. But I feel now, here at SUNY Oswego, I've almost come full circle. So as mentioned, I'm the director of RISE, which is an office on campus to facilitate undergraduate research. And early in my career, I was given the opportunity to work with a professor. He took me under his wing. We went out and collected fossils. He would come into his lab on the weekends and show me how to prepare them. We worked together on a manuscript. We even presented at a local conference. And from that moment on, I was hooked. I was hooked on research. I was hooked on paleontology. And to say that that event changed my life is not an overstatement. And so I'm familiar with the power of these kind of mentored experiences. And I'm absolutely thrilled to be part of these inspirational experiences with students today that is no doubt enriched by these new fabulous facilities, but also by the amazing scientists, researchers, and teachers that fill this space. Thank you.
I want to recognize today our Provost, Lori Clemo, who leads many of these efforts and has certainly brought about a wonderful deepening of the experiences of students interacting in these ways in research experiences on campus. Thank you, Lori. It's now my pleasure to introduce two representatives of the entities who were truly the boots on the ground in making this science complex reality. Christopher Marcella, who is the Director of Design with the State University Construction Fund, and Michael Agate, Vice President of Architecture for Canon Design. Please come up.
Good afternoon. I represent State University Construction Fund, and there's a couple of things that I would like to say and I would like to acknowledge, one of which is what I preach to the staff at the fund, and that's quality, budget, and schedule. Those three items, we were obviously extremely successful in this building. There's many people to thank for that, especially the Shinneman family. I want to go back a little bit to a conference that I went to at Johns Hopkins, where we had the architectural critic with the Chronicle of Higher Education attend our conference. And the subject of that conference was what to do with the dark ages of architecture, the 60s. And it's only through Canon Design that I think we've done something magnificent with that architecture. That covers it up right here. So with that, I want to thank many people. Also, we've mentioned the legislature, we mentioned the SUNY Board of Trustees, the Construction Fund Board of Trustees, the architect Canon Design, who just did a fabulous job, but some other folks. And if I can just see a hand raised, Whiting Turner, Mark Ziefeld, is he here? Mark, thank you. The Pike Company, you see a hand from the Pike Company, I know, so are Tom Judson. Tom? Foz Construction for the renovation. President Stanley, how can we ever thank her? I got to tell you that I've been with the university for 27 years, and I was on this campus 27 years ago. It does not look like that anymore. She has transformed this campus in the last 10 years that students are obviously looking to get into this facility left and right. So she's done an amazing job. I'd also like to thank Casey Raymond, who I have not met Casey, but apparently is the organic chemistry professor. Raise that hand again. Thank you. My folks say you ran interference with the faculty, and I know you probably had one of the toughest jobs. So. It was a total team effort, and from the team at the Construction Fund, I'd like to thank Jeff Graham and Fran Avanauskas. You are out there? There they are in the back. From our construction group, Mark Kentile and Lauren Parrott, are they here? Thank you. And to shepherd the construction, Alan Bradbury. I think you heard from Alan before. Again, thank you. I'm not going to talk about the architectural aspects. I'll leave that to the architect of record. But on behalf of the Vice Chancellor for Facilities, Robert Hanlon, I wish you every success in your new home. So thank you.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here and part of the dedication for the Richard Shinneman Center. Yesterday was the dedication of Rice Creek, which was also part of the overall science project. And I was able to spend time with many of the people that were involved in that project as well as this project. And it's been great to be able to see and speak with those people
many of them who were instrumental in the programming, planning, construction of the building. And it's with their dedication, support, and trust that the process that began in 2008 when we became involved is now complete. This new building is about 230,000 square feet. It's essentially the same size as both of the buildings for Science before, but now it consists of the renovation of existing P's and a large addition which provides state-of-the-art facilities, including classrooms, teaching and research labs, interaction spaces for sciences and engineering. And it was based on several primary goals. Casey touched on some of them at the lunch, but there's some specifics in creating an innovative image for sciences, fostering interdisciplinary interaction and breaking down the departmental limits, enhancing flexibility, and establishing and achieving high levels of sustainability. It's been mentioned a few times that we are proceeding in LEED Gold certification. Some of those sustainable features, I'll just touch on a couple of them. The largest geothermal system for heating and cooling. The geothermal system's actually out in the parking lot. There's 240 wells that are 499 feet deep. And the limits of that were really based on the amount of property that we had to do. We have on-site renewable energy with solar power on the roof, water conservation, a high-performance mechanical and lighting systems, and an energy-efficient building enclosure. These sustainable features will result in about a 50% energy savings over a baseline building system and 40% of the energy compared to the former buildings combined. While challenges and obstacles were encountered, whether how we are going to keep the campus accessible and operational while creating a construction site in the middle of the campus, or shutting down and upgrading utilities while keeping the remaining campus operational, these challenges were always resolved by collaboration. I'm sure that will remain the same as we prepare to demolish Snake Hall and complete the remaining site work. We'd like to recognize the design team in addition to Canon Design that included Trowbridge and Wolf Landscape Architects for the landscape design and Watts Engineering for the civil design. We'd also like to recognize Whiting Turner Contracting for their support during the construction planning and the construction phases, which included much of the site logistics, which were rather complex at times, when it also included the work of the School of Education. At one point in time, all three projects were sharing the same construction site within the same construction fencing. We'd like to recognize the Pike Company, FOS Construction, for their execution of design. The construction process was really unique. This building, which is now a single building, was built as two separate projects. There was the renovation and then the addition. And they were being constructed simultaneously with the goal that when the construction was complete, it would function as a single facility with a single set of building systems. This required significant coordination, and both were always willing to work together and make sure that the intended design was realized. We'd like to thank the college, in particular the administration, the executive committee that was established right at the beginning of the project to make sure that we were committed to the long-term objectives of the campus and that all the appropriate programs and spaces were being accounted for in the design. The faculty and staff for their participation and feedback, and the facilities and design construction office for their continued trust, support, and dedication. We'd like to thank the State University Construction Fund for their support and leadership, for trusting us and providing us with the opportunity to lead this project. This is a significant project for SUNY Oswego, and it will strengthen the science and engineering curriculums, and it will distinguish them amongst their peer institutions and within the SUNY system. We have been involved with numerous science projects, but I can tell you this has been truly enjoyable for us and one we are very proud to be part of. We look forward to assessing the positive impact it will have on the faculty and students' education and look forward to working together again. Thank you.
Okay, the reason we are here today and the reason we are on campus every day in the 152-year life of this college, that reason is our students. I'm delighted to introduce two of them to you now. Anthony Smith is president of the SUNY Oswego Student Association, a member of our college council, and a physics major who took part in our global laboratory experience in Taiwan this summer. And Kemi Mugaji is a senior biology major who came to Oswego out of Syracuse's Say Yes education program and is a member of our educational opportunity program. Please come to the stage.
On behalf of the Student Association, I'd like to welcome and thank you for coming. You're standing, well, sitting, in the newest and, in my opinion, the most impressive building on campus. Students are currently buzzing with discussion of this new building and all that it has to offer, one point being in the Fusion Cafe, the soda machine with its limitless options for soda. In all seriousness, no, this 230,000-square-foot building offers all new teaching spaces, beautiful brand-new labs, new equipment, and a space for students to gather and study. As with any major building on a college campus, there must be a main goal for its erection. Shinneman was created and designed as a space to foster education for new scientists, to further the capabilities of our programs, and to be a model of green energy and efficiency. I must say today that it is a model of progress. It is an investment in our students, and it is an engineering marvel. As we sit here in this magnificent building, I'd like to thank a couple of people, first of which would be the Shinnemans and Dr. Barbara Shinneman. Without your generation, honestly, we wouldn't be sitting here today enjoying this wonderful event. I want to thank the alumni, the faculty, the staff, and all the public officials who contributed and supported this construction. You know, Dr. Richard Shinneman, he absolutely loved this college when he worked here, and he put his devotion and time into it. And all of you being here and supporting the construction of this building shows that you love Oswego, and we'd like to thank you for that. As you walk through these brand new hallways, I'd like you to imagine the work that's going to be done inside these halls, myself included, doing some future generations of Oswego having an opportunity to do great things. We're going to do amazing things with the new research facilities that we have here. The Shinneman Center is the first step towards a brighter future, and we, the students, are extremely grateful. So thank you very much, all of you.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Oluwa Kemi Mugaji, and I'm currently a junior year at SUNY Oswego, majoring in biology. First, I would like to thank the Shinnemans for your generous donation to the SUNY Oswego community. A donation is very important to the students here, especially the science student, because we're now able to work in a new state-of-the-art learning facility. It is an honor to have witnessed the growth of this building since the summer of my freshman year when I came in as an EOP student. And now I'm able to take classes in here. I enrolled in SUNY Oswego after I moved to the United States from Nigeria. I decided to attend SUNY Oswego because I wanted to be a pre-med student. And I also knew the program here would be good for my future. The other students and I are enjoying working in new labs with new technological advanced equipment. The new labs have made the learning experiences better and more interesting. For example, recently in my organic chemistry lab, we were doing an experiment with a variety of chemicals. And now, because of this new building, everyone in the class has an access to a fume hood, which is more safe. Last year, in SNAKE, we did not have enough film here, so we could not all do the experiment. Shinneman, I would say, is a much better learning environment for us. One of my favorite things about this building is the water bottle filling station. I feel like it encourages students to reuse bottles rather than purchasing new ones. Also, I have heard my friends get excited about the new observatory and planetarium. I am sure this feature will spark interest both in science and non-science students and bring even more people into this building. In addition, the study lounges, the Fusion Cafe, invite students, faculty, staff, and visitors into the building, and welcome them with a wide variety of seating options and diverse food menu. Once again, I would like to thank the Shinomans for their generous donation. I look forward to using this building for the rest of my time here and visiting years to come. Thank you.
I am honored to present to you our college's dear friend and benefactor, alumna and emerita professor, Dr. Barbara Shinomans.
Oh my, this will make me cry. Thank you so much. That's wonderful. As we gather, I am grateful to each of you for sharing the excitement and significance of this dedication. I hope that as the day unfolds, I can talk with many of you individually about the common threads that bind us together as one diverse Oswego family. President Stanley, I am grateful for your inspiring leadership, which ultimately has brought us to this momentous occasion. I know you share my strong commitment to this college. I know that your work is always focused on the effectiveness and credibility of the institution. And I know that your goal is to provide all the resources necessary for our students to succeed and to make positive contributions to life in communities around the world. I am honored to stand here with Dr. Anthony Cortese and to share in the moment when he will receive the honorary Doctor of Letters degree from the State University of New York. Dr. Cortese is recognized for his long-standing commitment to environmental sustainability, a driving precept behind the design and construction of the building, and a concept that was vitally important to my late husband, Dr. Richard S. Shinomans. I am also gratified to learn, can you hear me? To learn the heartwarming news that those inspiring teachers from the past, Dr. Donald Snake and Dr. Pease, will continue to be honored in the proposed memory garden with symbols and plaques, ensuring that their names will not be forgotten on this campus. As we dedicate the Richard S. Shinomans Center for Science, Engineering, and Innovation, we see before us a complete, functional, magnificent structure that seems so much a part of the campus landscape that it might have almost sprung up here organically. Yet we recognize that we are harvesting seeds that were planted many years ago and that they have been carefully tended by many hands. We are witness today to the culmination of years of dreaming, strategizing, planning, and finally building. Hundreds of dedicated people in a variety of professions and trades have been involved in this project. I think each one of them deserves our applause and appreciation for his or her contribution. I think this facility is magnificent, but buildings are ephemeral. What we have come to dedicate is more than an artfully constructed complex. It is a philosophy of education and a devotion to learning that is an integral component of an entire community that we know as SUNY Oswego. The college is very important to me, for it is a symbol of one of the most important connections Dick and I shared. We both embraced a lifelong passion for and dedication to higher education. Oswego has been for us not only the place where we pursued our careers, but also an institution in which each of us learned and grew, finding here an academic community where we could teach and mentor students In doing so, Richard and I strengthened our allegiance not only to higher education, but also to this particular college. Our confidence in Oswego's leadership, our attraction to its emphasis on academics, and our faithfulness to its ongoing institutional progress meant that we became increasingly invested in its programs, its students, and its future. Let me share with you a few things about Richard Shineman, the founding chair of the chemistry department at SUNY Oswego, and the man for whom this building is named. He performed music and magic. He played tennis and golf. He sang camp songs in the shower. He pursued chemistry. He collected stamps throughout his life. He read nonfiction. He loved his home, his family, and his church. Richard didn't fit the narrow stereotype of a scientist sequestered in his lab. He lived a well-rounded, adventuresome life. We traveled extensively. We enjoyed social gatherings with friends and participated in community activities, church, Rotary Club, symphony orchestras, and concerts and campus events. Above and beyond all, infusing our daily lives and guiding our daily discussions have been our involvement with and our commitment to SUNY Oswego. Richard was an unpretentious man who might, in fact, be more than a little embarrassed that we are calling attention to him today. But I knew him well, and I'm certain he would have yielded his unassuming nature to the overriding necessity of providing this modern, functional, attractive, environmentally sustainable facility for students in disciplines such as science, technology, engineering, and math. Even stronger than his sense of reserve was Richard's quality of philanthropy. A scientist at heart, he had a deep-seated practice of giving to others and a tradition of generosity that drove all his actions. His philanthropy was his way of acting upon something his father taught him from the time he was a child. This is the simple lesson. No matter what your personal needs might be, you must always use your resources to help meet the needs of others. I shall repeat that fundamental tenet. No matter what your personal needs might be, you must always use your resources to help meet the needs of others. Although Richard had no self-pride, he was proud of Oswego. As the founding chair of the chemistry department and a longtime professor, he worked collaboratively with colleagues from the time he was hired in 1962 throughout his 26 years in the department to create and maintain an exemplary science program. Richard celebrated the success of all his students, those who made their careers in science, math, and technology, as well as those who applied what they learned in general education science classes to their daily lives, and all who were inspired to become responsible stewards of the environment. Richard would want this dedication to focus on them, the students, as well as the faculty members who were his contemporaries. He would want us to celebrate those who are here currently and those who in the future will be attracted by this Center for Science, Engineering, and Innovation to study and conduct research at SUNY Oswego. While he was still engaged in teaching and still active in the academic life of the college, Richard had the foresight to begin initiatives that would ensure that his vision for Oswego would be maintained even after his death. He was the driving force behind the creation of the Richard S. Shineman Foundation for the betterment of community life in Central New York. It is in collaboration with the foundation that my naming gift has been made to create this 262,000 square foot state-of-the-art complex to honor him. Our granddaughter, Megan, once gave Dick a birthday card that described him so well. As a teacher, a visionary, a philanthropist and a gentleman, that I have kept it through the years. The message on that card and the parting image I would like us to retain as we dedicate the Richard S. Shineman Center for Science, Engineering, and Innovation is this. The man who reaches for his star is admired, but the man who helps others reach theirs is loved. I am confident that this center will fulfill my husband's visions and my dearest hopes if we all just remember that message. May all who pass through this building today and in the many days that lie ahead be devoted to helping others reach their stars. Thank you.
Amazing, and you are too. Oswego is blessed with accomplished alumni who give back to their alma mater in many ways. Barbara's at the top of that list. But I now have the pleasure of launching a new Oswego tradition, and I ask Jim Wright to join me at the lectern. We're surprising him today, so he's a little unsure about that.
I missed the trial run.
Me too. Also a graduate of SUNY Oswego and a recipient of our Distinguished Alumni Award, Jim is our former representative in the State Senate. Currently, he is Executive Director of the Development Authority of the North Country. Without his leadership in Albany on our behalf over many years, this day may not have come to pass. We made a discovery, and this is absolutely true, while renovating Sheldon Hall's exterior early this year. So that's Sheldon Hall, our old main, the original building on this site. And it was soon clear to us how this century-old object could become a signal honor that is distinctly Oswego's. It is the Trident Award. For 100 years, perched on the uppermost tip of Sheldon Hall, the three-pronged copper finial, a trident, stood over our Lakeshore campus. It may look large here, but and we have pictures to prove it was there, but it was very small up on the cupola, very high above the spire. In Greek mythology, the trident is the symbol of power for Poseidon, god of the sea, protector of all waters. Here on the shore of Lake Ontario, we appreciate the power of the waters. This great lake has helped define our campus for a century. Its power has inspired generations of students. And all this time, the trident was there, unseen by most, but ever watchful atop Sheldon Hall, firm in the face of the lake's fierce winds. The trident is an apt symbol of our college's strength, its three prongs representing our storied past, our vibrant present, and our promising future, its skyward reach reflecting our valiant and ever-striving spirit. Throughout our college's history, exceptional individuals have stepped forward with determination and purpose to advance our mission of public higher education for greater good. Today, we recognize one such exceptional individual, alumnus James W. Wright, class of 1971, and our former New York State Senator, who has devoted his life to public service. For his abiding commitment to the values and aspirations and achievements of SUNY Oswego, the inaugural SUNY Oswego Trident Award is bestowed upon the Honorable James Wright. This is just a small representation. Jim's name will be inscribed on the base of the trident, the actual trident, and it will be displayed on campus. So congratulations, Jim. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, President Stanley. Trustee Lichtman, Dr. Shineman, Dr. Cortese. It's a pleasure to join with all of you on the platform today. And it's only appropriate that the Trident Award should be presented. I remember well the day Edward Austin Sheldon placed it in the cupola. I've honestly not spent that much time on campus, but I do remember Dr. Shineman being on campus. That was not because I spent a lot of time in the science and math buildings. Those of you who know my career know for sure I didn't spend any time there. But nonetheless, I do have an appreciation for what this building stands for in my new life. We recently completed a new facility and worked very hard to achieve a silver LEED designation. So I know full well what a gold LEED designation will mean, and that's a testimony to the university, to the president, and to the leadership of this community. I would also like to join in the recognition of Dr. Shineman. The Shinemans, as you represented with your standing ovation for Dr. Barbara, but as a couple, they personify to me what this university is all about, and equally important, what the greater Oswego community is all about. So as one who has had the benefit of being immersed in those two communities for some 40-plus years now, they epitomize what we all achieve and what our roots here at Oswego have provided us. You know, I go back to a time when orientation focused on learning the names of the four smokestacks. Huey, Dewey, Louie, and Frank, for those of you taking notes. However, as you can well recognize, this campus has gone under a significant transformation under the leadership of Dr. Stanley and under the leadership of the last 10 years of this campus community. If there is anything that I can point to during my tenure in the state capitol, it was the state's commitment to finally reinvest in its university system. I came to this campus when everything was brand new. And over the course of time, I watched it atrophy. And when I was first elected to the Senate, one of the first things that occurred was I was given a tour of the campus. So anyone that questions Deborah's planning ability, please understand that's when it started. Here's the campus and see how it's falling apart. Building by building, foundation by foundation, I saw it all. More importantly, we were in a position for the state of New York to make the investments that hadn't been made in several decades. And this building is but one further example of that commitment and that partnership with this community and the state of New York, and with the ability of people like Deborah, Dr. Shineman, and others who leveraged the state's investment to see that we took it one step further. I have to tell you, I understand that she was relating the story about standing on the roof earlier today. When I stood on that roof, this is exactly what I envisioned would be here. So she has done a fine job in ensuring that my vision was carried out. It's a testimony to all of you and how hard you work. I noticed when the planning committee was introduced, there was one left standing. More power to you. She's a tough taskmaster. I understand that. But thank you very much for the recognition. I appreciate that. But I had a very small part to play. In fact, some would tell you it was my job, and one that I thoroughly enjoyed, one that I enjoyed many times coming back to this campus, and I look forward to continuing to do that. Thank you very much.
He had a very big part to play from the inception of the construction on this campus. Trustee Lichtman, can you join me? I now have the honor to present Anthony D. Cortese, a candidate for the degree Doctor of Science Honoris Causa. know we shouldn't have worn robes. Dr. Cortese, you have distinguished yourself as one of the nation's longtime pioneers in promoting sustainability in higher education. As a driving force in formally establishing a link between world sustainability and higher education, you were the organizer of the American College and University President's Climate Commitment and co-founder of the Association for the Advancement of Sustainability in Higher Education and the Higher Education Association Sustainability Consortium. You are a senior fellow of Second Nature, the Boston-based advocacy organization committed to promoting sustainability through higher education, and an organization you co-founded and headed as president for 2 decades. You led the Climate Commitment's high visibility effort to address global climate disruption. This has been undertaken by a network of colleges and universities that have made institutional commitments, this college among them, to reduce greenhouse gas emissions from specified campus operations and to promote the research and educational efforts of higher education to equip society to restabilize the Earth's climate. You promulgated its mission to accelerate progress towards climate neutrality by empowering the higher education sector to educate students about sustainability, create solutions, and provide leadership by example for the rest of society. You are devoted to education about climate change, sustainable economics and business, sustainable design, and sustainable communities and social justice. You have worked tirelessly to make sustainable action a priority for higher education institutions. A former commissioner of the Massachusetts Department of Environmental Protection, you went on to become the first dean of environmental programs at Tufts University. There you founded the award-winning Tufts Environmental Literacy Institute that helped integrate environmental perspectives in more than 175 courses. That's tough. You organized the efforts in France to produce the internationally renowned Talleyrand's Declaration of University Leaders for a Sustainable Future, and the first official statement made by university administrators that outlined a commitment to environmental sustainability in higher education. This declaration is a 10-point action plan for incorporating sustainability and environmental literacy into teaching, research, operations, and outreach at colleges and universities. In recognition of your work and devotion to sustainability, the State University of New York hereby confers on you the honorary degree of Doctor of Science. By virtue, and I'm going to allow Trustee Richmond.
By virtue of the authority vested in me, the faculty of the State University of New York concurring, I confer upon you the degree Doctor of Laws, honoris causa, and invest you with all the rights and privileges pertaining thereunto. In token thereof, I hand you the diploma and direct that you be vested with the hood appropriate to your degree.
Thank you. It is it's very special for me to be here, particularly because one of my heroes is Deb Stanley. When we first started the American College and University President's Climate Commitment and held the first summit, Oswego State was one of the charter signatories that helped lead the effort today that now includes 675 colleges and universities across the United States, all 50 states, including 53 in New York and 17 of the SUNY system. And when I met Deb, she was so enthusiastic about why this was so important to higher education. It inspired me to continue. You know, it's one of those things, we inspire each other. And one of the things that was really impressive about being here for the last day and a half is what a community it took to make this happen. This did not happen by one or two people, but all of the people that had to participate and support the activities in order to make it happen. So thank you very much for being here. President Stanley, Professor Emeritus Shinneman, Your Honorable James Wright, and by the way, I started out my life in public service, and to me, the people that do work in public service are some of the most important people in society. And for all of you that are public officials and are legislators, I want you to know that as someone who worked in public service for a long time, I really appreciate what you do, because certainly I would never have been able to do the things that I have done in my life if it weren't for you. To Trustee Lichtman, I did not know until today that Marshall was one of the leading researchers in looking at blood-related disorders and cancers, and that he was a former vice president of the Leukemia Society of America. This is very important to me because when I became the commissioner of the Environmental Department in Massachusetts in 1979, 3 months later I was diagnosed with acute lymphocytic leukemia. And at the time, there was not a high probability that I would last for a very long time. But it was only because of the research that was done by people in colleges and universities and the Leukemia Society of America that I am alive today. So my dedication to higher education was first because of the profession what I was in, but secondly because I know that if it wasn't for higher education, all of the innovation that has made life possible, the modern life possible, would not have occurred. And so higher education to me is one of the most important sectors and institutions in society. To receive an honorary degree is something of great honor, delight, gratitude, and humility. I am now a proud Oswego State alum. And I will do my best to live up to your standards. I'm also honored to participate in this important milestone for the university and the Oswego community. I'm honored to have my loving wife and partner, Donna DeGioia, here with me, and our cousin, Frank DeGioia, a proud Oswego State alum, who is here, and a graduate of the School of Communications. So, I'm here to say that humanity is at a crossroads without historical precedent. Because of the extraordinary and exponential growth of population and the expansive dynamic of industrial capitalism, humans have become a planetary force comparable in disruptive power to the ice ages and the asteroid collisions that have previously directed Earth's history. Despite all the work society has done on environmental protection, all living systems are in long-term decline and declining at an increasing rate. We are severely disrupting the stability of the climate and the Earth's ecosystems, which have made human progress to date possible. We go about 3 minutes without breathing, about 3 days without water, and about 3 weeks without food. All the resources which make life possible come from the Earth, from the life support system. It provides not only the resources, but it assimilates our waste. It provides all kinds of ecosystem services, one of which is very personal to me. One of the drugs that saved me was vincristine, which was isolated from the plant, the rosy periwinkle, which was found in the rainforest of Madagascar. Today, 90% of those rainforests have been cut down. How many of the life-saving drugs are we losing, or other services that come from the Earth's ecosystems? Fortunately for me, you can actually grow that plant in other places in the world, but how many others cannot? We have huge social, economic, and public health challenges worldwide. For example, nearly 3 billion people are without sanitation and make less than $2.50 a day. This is happening with 25% of the world's population consuming 70 to 80% of the world's resources. So here is the big question. It's not about environmental sustainability, in a sense. I'm not worried of saving the planet. The planet has survived 5 major biological extinctions in the past, the latest of which was 65 million years ago when we think about the extinction of the dinosaurs. It's in the middle of the sixth extinction that's being caused by humans, and the Earth will survive that too. The question is, will we be able to save a complex human civilization? It's about saving the life support system so that we can have a decent quality of life and survive. So the big question is this: how will we ensure that current and future humans will be healthy, living strong, secure, thriving communities, and have economic opportunity in a world that will have 9 billion people and that plans to increase economic output 3 to 4 times by 2050. This is the greatest moral, intellectual, and social challenge human civilization has ever faced. We've never had to face anything like this. And most of the challenges, the changes I've been describing, have occurred in my lifetime. The growth is unbelievable. Marginal improvements to business as usual will not work. We need a transformative shift in the way we think and act individually and collectively. Albert Einstein famously said, "We can't solve today's problems." You heard that, that was a Boston accent. "We can't solve today's problems at the same level of thinking at which they were first created." We must lead, higher education must lead the way in our role to provide the knowledge and the educated citizenry for a thriving civil society. We need an economy that sustains people, community, culture, and nature. Imagine this, an industrial production and consumption system that runs on renewable energy and in which the concept of waste is eliminated because every waste product is a raw material or nutrient for another species or activity or returned into the cycles of nature. There is no such thing as waste in nature. Every waste product is a raw material or nutrient for another species. We are the only species that has a linear take, make, waste, and assume that the Earth will just assimilate all of that waste. Imagine that we are managing human activities in a way that uses natural resources only at the rate that they can self-regenerate. The ideas embodied in sustainable forestry, fishing, and agriculture. You only fish the waters at the rate at which the fish can regenerate. By doing so, we could live off nature's interest, not its capital, for generations to come. The great thing, from my perspective, is that higher education's rapidly expanding response to this challenge over the last 2 decades has been one of the most positive and inspiring trends in society. It's a beacon of hope in a sea of turbulence. Oswego State, under the leadership of President Stanley, has been a leading light among colleges and universities in New York State and in the country in this effort. Being one of the charter members of the 675 schools in the American College and University President's Climate Commitment, you committed to becoming climate neutral and sustainable in the operations, providing the educated workforce, and to help the city of Oswego and the surrounding region improve economically and socially, as well as deal with the rapid environmental changes that are becoming more evident daily. Witness Hurricane Sandy, the wildfires across the United States, the droughts, and the devastating floods in Colorado. The Shinneman Center is an early prototype of how we must renovate the 75% of existing buildings that will be in existence in 40 years, and as a prototype for the building of new buildings. Not just because of the health, environmental, and productivity attributes that we've been all hearing about today. They are critical, of course. And one of the things that I noticed very clearly is when I walk into a building, I can tell whether or not there is really good air circulation and when there is really good air quality. It's very important to be able to be healthy and productive. And the Shinneman Center is a wonderful example of that. But the most important thing, in a way, is something that you said earlier, Deb. It's because the building will greatly enhance the kind of learning community that you and others in higher education understand is really the way of the future. We know that we retain 20% of what we read or hear and 80% of what we do. Learning by doing and applying to help solve problems on your own campus and in the local community, to help the local community to be able to thrive, is the best kind of learning. Can we do this? Well, necessity is the mother of invention. Some people say it's impossible or it's impracticable. I say we need to make those things which are impossible or impracticable inevitable. And we have done this in the past as a human species. Can we do it again? Yes, thousands of businesses and communities are heading down this path. They cannot succeed without higher education, because higher education today are the anchor institutions for social, community, and economic development. As a full partner in anticipating and informing society of the challenges we face and finding and modeling solutions, society looks to us to do the research on what are the challenges ahead and also to come up with the solutions so that we can help the rest of society succeed. Higher education is the primary secular sector in society designed with a long-term focus and the ability to provide the knowledge and the skills that all of today's and tomorrow's businesses, governments, and professionals will need. Government has elections every 2 years, every 4 years. Corporations have to live by the quarterly bottom line. The institutions that are designed to be here for the long term are the colleges and universities, and they are critically important. We need new kinds of skills for architects, engineers, attorneys, business leaders, scientists, urban planners, policy analysts, cultural and spiritual leaders, teachers, journalists, advocates, activists, and politicians, and we will need those on a broad scale. Only higher education can provide that kind of education on a broad scale. And while I am a scientist and an engineer and love what's been going on in this building and all of the scientific work that will continue to go on here, if the challenge of creating a sustainable society were largely scientific and technological, it would have been solved already. And the challenges we face are one of values and culture and all of the humanities and the arts and the social sciences that try to bring us together to create a world that works for everybody in a fair way. This challenge provides the greatest opportunity that higher education has ever had to demonstrate its crucial and ever-growing importance to society, especially in a time when higher education is under pressure because of accessibility and affordability issues. If we don't, who will? So I thank you, President Stanley, for your vision, leadership, and commitment, and to the entire Oswego State University and greater Oswego community. You know, we don't exist as an island. Colleges and universities are of community, and they are in community. And unless we break down the barriers between higher education and the community for the sake of both, then we will not succeed as a society. So thank you for your commitment to creating a healthy, just, and sustainable society for all current and future generations. It is deeply moving and inspiring, and I cannot tell you what an honor it is for me to be here and to receive the degree from you.
an educator, totally at heart. A scientist, yes, but an educator. Well, as you've heard this afternoon, this science facility will be the training ground for globally engaged scientists and engineers who will enrich the region's workforce in such growing fields as health and green technology. Some of our students who discover a passion for science here will no doubt become distinguished and even renowned alumni and ambassadors for this college. The Richard S. Shineman Center for Science, Engineering, and Innovation will be a lasting achievement for generations to come. Thank you. And thank you all for joining us on this joyful occasion. Please stay. There are tours being provided so that you may see the whole facility. And our students are around, so please talk with them and get their perspective. Thank you again for being here this afternoon.